Welcome back, everyone, to the Deep Dive. Today we are going way back to ancient Israel.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah, it really is. And we're going to unpack a story from the Book of Numbers that I think you'll find has some surprising relevance, even thousands of years later.
I'm all ears.
Okay, great. So this is a tale of inheritance leadership and some truly remarkable women who are not afraid to shake things up.
I love those kinds of stories. The ones that make you rethink things, you know.
Exactly. Those are the best ones. So, okay, let's dive right in. Story we're talking about is about Zelophehad's daughters. Now, this all unfolds during a time when inheritance laws were, well, let's just say they favored the men of the family.
That's right. Yeah, inheritance in ancient Israel was largely patriarchal, meaning that property and wealth primarily passed down through the male line. So if a man died without sons, his land would typically go to his brothers or other male relatives.
Okay, so now here's where the story gets interesting.
Yeah.
Zelophehad dies, and he has five daughters, but no sons.
Ah, so that creates a problem.
It does. Mm-hmm. It created a real dilemma because losing their family's land would have been a huge blow, not just financially, but socially as well.
Absolutely. Land ownership wasn't simply about wealth back then.
Yeah.
It represented belonging, security, and the continuation of the family name. Mm. You know, for these women, it was a matter of survival and justice.
I can't imagine facing a situation like that.
Yeah. They could have easily accepted their fate, but they chose a different path.
I like where this is going.
They took action.
Okay, so what did they do?
They decided to take their case to the top.
Wow. Bold move.
It was... They went to Moses, Eleazar, the priest, the leaders, and the whole community and basically said, hey, our dad died without sons, but that shouldn't mean our family's legacy is wiped out. We deserve a share of our father's inheritance.
So they were not messing around. They went straight to the authorities.
They didn't. And what's so remarkable is their courage in doing that. They didn't just complain. They presented a well-reasoned argument highlighting the unfairness of the existing system.
And what happened?
Their boldness paid off. Moses took their plea to God. And God sided with them. He instructed Moses that Zelophehad's daughters had a legitimate claim and should inherit their father's land.
No way. That's amazing.
It was a landmark decision. It was a significant legal victory for women and a testament to the power of speaking up against injustice.
Their courage really changed the system for the better. And that's such a powerful lesson for all of us. I mean, think about the times we've seen unfairness. What can we learn from Zelophehad's daughters about advocating for positive change?
It really is. It makes you think about the power of individual action. You know, these women weren't powerful figures in their society, but they made a huge impact.
Yeah, and it's not just about inheritance laws, right? It's about this willingness to push for a more just and equitable world. But I'm curious about the strategy they used. I mean, they could have been dismissed or even punished for questioning the authorities. What do you think made their approach so effective?
That's a great question. I think there were several factors that contributed to their success. First, they presented their case with respect and reasoned arguments. They didn't lash out or make demands. Instead, they appealed to a sense of fairness and logic.
It was a combination of courage and strategy.
Right.
They chose their moment wisely and framed their argument in a way that resonated with the community.
Exactly. And it's also important to note that they had the support of key figures like Moses, who ultimately brought their case to God. This highlights the importance of building alliances and finding allies who can amplify your message.
Makes you wonder, you know, are there any modern-day parallels to this story?
Oh, absolutely. Think about all the movements we see today. People advocating for social justice, environmental protection, or human rights. They're all tapping into that same spirit of challenging the status quo and pushing for a better world.
Wow, that's a great point. So the story of Zelophehad's daughters is like a timeless blueprint for effective advocacy.
You could say that. It shows that even in seemingly rigid systems, there's always room for change if we're willing to speak up and work strategically towards a more just and equitable outcome.
Now, the second part of this chapter shifts gears a bit. It focuses on the appointment of Joshua as Moses' successor. It's a pivotal moment as the Israelites are preparing to enter the Promised Land.
Yeah, and it's interesting how this section follows the story of Zelophehad's daughters. It seems to highlight the importance of not just advocating for change, but also ensuring that leadership transitions are handled thoughtfully and with a focus on the future.
Okay, so let's talk about Joshua. He wasn't just randomly selected. God specifically chose him to lead the Israelites into this new era. So what were the qualities that made him stand out as a leader?
Well, Joshua had been Moses' right-hand man for years. He was a proven military leader, someone who demonstrated courage, strategic thinking, and the ability to inspire others. But he was also known for his faith and his deep connection to God. You know, this combination of practical skills and spiritual grounding made him the ideal candidate to succeed Moses.
It makes me wonder, what can we learn from this about leadership selection and succession planning, even in our modern world?
That's a crucial point, I think. The transition from Moses to Joshua serves as a model for effective leadership succession. You know, it highlights the need for mentorship preparation and a deliberate process for transferring authority to the next generation.
So it's not just about finding someone to fill the role. It's about nurturing future leaders and ensuring a smooth and stable handover of power.
Precisely, Moses didn't wait until the last minute to choose a successor. He recognized the importance of identifying and developing someone who could carry on his mission and guide the people effectively.
This is something we see, or at least hope to see, in successful organizations and institutions today. Right? Like companies with clear succession plans or even families that prepare the next generation to take on leadership roles.
Absolutely. Thoughtful succession planning is essential for long-term stability and growth, whether it's in a family business, a community organization, or even on a national level. It's about ensuring continuity and avoiding disruptions that can arise from poorly managed transitions.
It raises an interesting question. What qualities do we look for in leaders today? How have those qualities evolved over time, and what can we learn from figures like Joshua about the timeless principles of effective leadership?
That's a really complex question with no easy answers, but I think there are some fundamental qualities that remain relevant across generations and cultures, like integrity, vision, empathy, and the ability to inspire and motivate others. These are essential traits for anyone in a position of leadership.
It seems like true leadership isn't just about holding a position of power. Right? It's about serving others, inspiring a shared vision, and guiding people towards a common goal.
Exactly. And I think the story of Joshua really embodies these principles. You know, he wasn't seeking power for himself. He was entrusted with this sacred responsibility to lead the Israelites into the Promised Land, a task that required immense courage, wisdom, and faith.
It's a reminder that leadership often involves navigating challenging circumstances, making tough decisions, and staying focused on the greater good, even when faced with adversity.
For sure. And, you know, it also highlights the importance of humility. Joshua was chosen by God, but he remained humble throughout his leadership. He recognized that his authority came from a higher source, and his role was to serve the people, not to exalt himself.
It's interesting to contrast this with, you know, the more ego-driven leadership styles we often see today.
Yeah.
There's a sense that true leadership is rooted in something deeper.
Yeah.
A sense of purpose that goes beyond personal ambition.
Yeah. That's a really insightful observation. The story of Joshua, I think, invites us to reflect on our own understanding of leadership. What qualities do we admire in leaders? What principles should guide those in positions of authority? And how can we as individuals embody those principles in our own lives, whether or not we hold formal leadership roles?
It's like a call to action for all of us, to consider how we can contribute to a more just, compassionate, and visionary world.
Absolutely. And the stories of Zelophehad's daughters and Joshua offer us a roadmap for doing just that. They remind us that we have the power to challenge injustice, to advocate for positive change, and to support leaders who embody integrity, vision, and a commitment to the common good.
Well, this has been an incredible deep dive. We've covered so much ground, from ancient inheritance laws to the timeless principles of leadership. I'm left with a sense of both inspiration and responsibility. It's up to each of us to take these lessons to heart and find ways to apply them in our own lives.
It really has been a fascinating exploration, and I hope our listeners will continue to reflect on these stories and the powerful messages they contain. You know, as we navigate the complexities of our modern world, we can draw wisdom and guidance from these ancient texts, finding inspiration to create a better future for ourselves and for generations to come.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, stay curious and keep exploring.